We just spent the last hour talking about happiness, and we are going to continue that theme a bit in this half hour and also talk about another myth. According to our next guest and their efforts to juggle schoolwork and extracurriculars, family life and social lives, friends, as well as relationships online in the real world, many girls begin to lose sight of who they really are and instead work overtime to please their friends, parents, teachers, and others. In her new book, The Myth of the Perfect Girl, Anna Hamayoun presents advice to empower both parents and girls themselves to discover what true success and happiness means to them and how to work to achieve it. Anna is the founder of Green Ivy Educational Consulting and the author of The Crumpled Paper Was Due Last Week, Helping Disorganized and Distracted Boys Succeed in School and Life. And the new book is The Myth of the Perfect Girl, Helping Our Daughters Find Authentic Success and Happiness in School and Life. We welcome Anna Hamayoun to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
It is, it's a delight to have you here. This is, I assume, this work on girls and our daughters came out of your work on boys and our sons.
Right, exactly. So I wrote my first book on disorganized and distracted boys, and while I was working on the book, I really realized with the girls that we were seeing in our office and the girls that I was meeting in schools that the challenges that they were facing were different, and they were not often fully talked about or understood, in part because girls are doing so well on average in school. They get better grades and college attendance, and there's so many more opportunities available to them, but now the idea that they can do it all means feels for the many of them that they need to be doing it all, and that if they're not, something's wrong with them.
It seems to me that in reading this, that it, in many ways there are different challenges but the same, in the sense of we all have, male or female, boys or girls, we all have challenges that we have to deal with, and identifying those and working through those is essential.
Exactly, and that's a really great point. And one of the challenges that many parents find and educators is that girls are so great at hiding what's actually bothering them. And so a lot of times we see the compensatory behaviors, the behaviors that we use to compensate for the fact that we're not feeling good about ourselves. So when you look at the increase in meanness, or a lot of the negative behaviors, the negative coping strategies that girls use, teenage girls, like drinking and self-harm and all of those things, the question that I ask in the book is, we really need to address the why these are happening and really help girls figure out what is their solid core and authentic sense of spirit so they can develop something that they're not dealing, resorting to negative techniques to deal with stress that comes their way.
So when we talk about that myth of the perfect girl, how much of it is in the mind of the parent of what the perfect girl is? How much is it in the mind of the girl herself of what her perfect self is? And the and society and what society and culture indicates perfection is, whether that be physical or emotional. And then trying to find balance and common ground with all of those forces.
Well, each girl has their own envisionment of what a perfect girl looks like. And I interviewed a lot of girls in addition to my work, and many would say, you know, they look right, everything's effortlessly easy for them, they get the right grades, they have the right friends, they have the right online persona. And much of it comes from a combination of messages that girls receive from external expectations. So it might be parents, it might be their friends, it might be the girls themselves, and it's some combination of all of those. And many parents are very well-meaning and well-intentioned. So there's no wrong, you know, blame in this book. It's really full of solutions and conversation starters to help parents and the girls themselves on this road to figuring out what is their own authentic version of success and how can they work to get there.
One of the things that you see, and in reading the book, I got the sense of there can be momentary perfection, right? There can be that moment of, well, okay,
right,
I got it all together now, but boy, yeah, can it come crashing down quick.
Right. And girls, you know, one of the main things I talk about in the book is how to develop those coping strategies so that when plan A doesn't work out, because it's not going to always work out, what are the things that we can do to help our girls become more resilient and have better coping strategies and have solutions-oriented thinking so that they're not resorting to stressful, negative coping mechanisms, whatever those could be.
When we think of those mechanisms, and again, this gets back to a question of maturity, and when we realize the power that we have, and the muscles that we can flex, and the muscles that we don't know how to flex yet, and then where other people come in to help and identify that.
Right. Well, a great example of that is social media usage among preteen and teenage girls. So, I mean, think about it. 15 years ago, social media really didn't exist in the way that it Right. does today. And a lot of times in this generation, and I'm talking about just even in these last 3 years, more and more schools require technology, computers, or their one-to-one laptop schools or one-to-one tablet schools. So kids are required to use some sort of technology to do well in school. But at the same time, that same technology gives them their biggest social distraction. So when we talk about maturity, you know, it's very hard for a young girl or adolescent girl who's worried about her friendships or who's worried about her relationships to self-regulate and stay off the texting while she's doing the homework or stay off the online chatting while she's trying to write the paper. And so much of what we talk about is how can we put better systems into place so that girls can empower themselves to start being educated about what are they really wanting to accomplish for themselves and how can they work to get there. So if the homework is taking them five hours, right, and they're exhausted, and that's leading to all these other issues, what are the ways that they can be more organized and manage their time better and learn how to self-regulate? Because the technology and the social media aren't going away, and so we really just need to educate them to understand that shift.
And you can see how destructive that can be. And again, as I said earlier, you illustrate in the book of how what seems to be going right can be derailed very quickly by an incident or something that happens online, that happens through social media.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, one of the things that I talk about is how girls are so relational, and we know this, and that they're natural pleasers. And so a girl's entire day could be ruined if someone looks at her weirdly in the hall or her friends don't sit with her at lunch, and that can really derail the academics. So we talk about how the social can also affect the academic, but also how the academic or what happens in school can affect the social both ways. And you're right, with social media online now, you know, that meanness that was experienced in the hallways of someone rolling their eyes at you or being catty 20 years ago or 15 years ago now follows you home because it's online and it's ever-present. So having these conversations and allowing girls to really understand what's happening, what's going on, and what the different players are is really important for educating them and helping them make better decisions.
And I think you make a great point, because looking at that time before social media where you got the eyes in the hall and you would go home and perhaps could either forget about it or be upset about it, but then just move on, you now, as the one who was hurt, you have a tool to get back at that person.
That's true. And the other piece of that is online creates a false sense of security.
Right.
In terms of girls can be unleashingly mean to each other online because there's no face-to-face interaction. When we see other people's faces, we see their reaction. We naturally can develop empathetic tendencies. But when we're online, it gives us a vitriol from which, like a mask to hide behind that really is creating a lot of these challenges. But what I talk about too is, why are these girls going online and being so mean? Why are they doing this? What is the root cause of that? Because the argument that I make is a lot of it's the internal emptiness that they're feeling as a result of constantly trying to meet other people's expectations. And so that's why the book is really solutions oriented. So what can we do to change that?
When you think of those solutions, how much of is it it's cultural. I mean, yes, the individual girl or the parent or whoever does have to deal with the ramifications, but it seems that we have to be better people and sort of learn how to deal with this technology that we have, because there's certainly been a degrading of civility all the way around. I don't care whether you're talking about a 12-year-old girl or a 40-year-old doctor or lawyer.
Well, that's a great point, and you bring up something that's really key, is all about modeling. So, you know, one of the biggest issues in modeling is texting and driving. So there was research done on how so many kids were scared of their parents driving because the parents were texting while driving.
Right.
And it's a great example of, you know, your children are watching you regardless of what you think, whether you think they are or not. And so figuring that out, but it also deals with the social, exactly what you're saying. I mean, I had a parent who didn't understand why her daughter was being so rude to her classmates, and had this really negative attitude. And the school counselor had called the parent and had this conversation, and the parent realized that she had been speaking to people that worked for her, and the daughter had gone to work with her one day and saw that about how she interacted with people that were in her, you know, work setting. And so the mother was completely taken aback, but it just gives you a sense of our modeling is all around for civility and how we treat other people, and we as parents and adults can be great examples of good modeling as well, and making good choices.
This is somewhat off the track, and yet it does fit in. Where do you get a sense that we have an increased sense of entitlement that we as a people in a culture that we didn't used to have, that sort of fuels a lot of this? That I'm not going to let this person do that to my daughter. I'm not going to allow this school to do that to my daughter. I'm going to get to the bottom of this, and then it just goes downhill.
Well, I think it also, yes, I think that there is a sense of entitlement, but I also think it goes back to this whole idea of the myth of the perfect girl. So when you want to maintain these standards of perfection and you don't want anything to go wrong, as a parent, you're constantly defending your child or trying to get them out of something, when really the learning experience from making a mistake or doing something wrong might be more beneficial of seeing the consequences, whether those are academic or social or extracurricular. So exactly what you're saying, do we have parents who are making those arguments? And they're really from a well-intentioned place, because a lot of times parents are so overly concerned that any mistake their child makes will be the end of their possibilities and future. And so they're hyper aware of anything that could be sort of off the rails in any way, making a mistake extracurricularly or academically or socially. And so that's why we have this hyper intensity of parenting that actually is counterproductive for a lot of those children.
Very important book, very important subject. It's The Myth of the Perfect Girl, Helping Our Daughters Find Authentic Success and Happiness in School and Life. Anna Hamiyoun, I thank you very much for being with us this morning. A great pleasure. Thank you for sharing your expertise.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.